We are going to learn Daf Yud Daled in Masechtas Ksubos. However, we are going to start from the bottom line on Yud Gimel Amud Beis, because that's the beginning of the sugya. Although, so till now we've been discussing the classic machlekas between Rabbi Gamliel, and Rabbi Lazar holds like Rabbi Gamliel. So Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua about whether if you have a situation where something happens to a girl and you don't know exactly what happened and she claims it wasn't so bad and he claims it was a little bit more halachically problematic. So Rabbi Gamliel holds that she's believed and Rabbi Yeshua holds she is not believed. That's the machlekes that we've been discussing, various cases that we've been talking about till now. And of course, if we don't believe her, the significance is that the child might be pasul l'kahuna, pasul l'kahal possibly, and that's what we've been dealing with specifically till now. So on the bottom line of Yud Gimel Amud Beis, the Gemara now tells the story. Ahu arus v'arus sasoi. There was an engaged couple, both the husband, the husband and the wife, the also the comment of Rabbi Yosef, they came to Rabbi Yosef, and she was pregnant. He amra minehu. So she says, the fiance is the husband. Vahu aimer, and he says now on the top of Yudalad Amar Aleph, in mina, yes, it is from me. So everybody's in agreement over here. We all know who the father is. So what's the halacha with this child? Again, you have to put it into context of what we've been talking about till now, when we don't know who the father is, whether the child is going to be kosher or not kosher, and so on. So Amar Rav Yosef, said, what's the problem with my nechashla? What's the problem in this story over here? Chada, first of all, the kamoida. First of all, the father is Maida. So he's saying it's from him. We know who the guy is. We know he's a kosher guy. So it's going to be, the child should be his descendant and it should be kosher. No problem. Va'oid, and also, let's learn like Rashi learns, va'oid, and even if we're talking about without the father being Maida, ha'amar Rabbi Yehuda, amar Shmuel, halacha Rabbi Gamliel. We paskin like Rabbi Gamliel. So, in other words, Rabbi Gamliel's halacha always has been till now when there is a disagreement or a disparity between the husband and the wife. We trust the wife. So over here also, so even if the husband wouldn't be believed, even if he wouldn't come forward and say, I did it, so still, we would believe her. She has a version of the story. We would believe her version of the story. So what would be any reason whatsoever in this situation to create a problem? Okay, it sounds like a very straightforward story. However, Omar le Abaya. So Abaya comes and says, one second. So let's talk about in the first case. Again, in the first, the second teretz. The first teretz is he admits we know the whole story. There's really nothing to talk about. But let's talk about in the second scenario where if theoretically the husband did not admit. So you're going to tell me that that's included in one of the cases that Rabbi Gamliel says we believe her. Va'amar le Shmuel Rabbi Yehuda. Shmuel already told Rabbi Yehuda. Shouldn't have. Smart one. Halacha Rabbi Gamliel. We do paskin like Rabbi Gamliel. Va'atloy tavet uvda. But we don't actually practice what Rabbi Gamliel said. Ad de'ikor roiv k'sher netza. It's not only good enough that we believe her, but it also has to be a situation where it seems to be in her direction. That does roiv, most of the people anyway, are kosher. And that's why it's easy to believe her. V'hacha, but the problem is over here, roiv psulin etzla. Most people are pasul. Because the only person in the world that she's mutter to is her fiance. Everybody else is usher. So the roiv of the world is usher to her. So if it happened in any other way, other than the husband, then it's going to be a problem. So now, Rabbi Gamliel's rule doesn't necessarily apply. Because this rule only applies when everything is hunky-dory. And roiv, anyway, it's roiv our kosher. And as Tosfos points out, based on the Gemara and Yavamas that we learned, that once an engaged couple should not be together. So once she was with this guy, that means she's the type of girl who could do things. Who can do things that she's not supposed to do. So there's a reason to be choishish over here. That's why over here we should worry about it. Okay. So Rabbi Yosef made it sound all simple. That we definitely pass on like Rabbi Gamliel and we follow, we believe her. Over here, it's not the same situation as Rabbi Gamliel's general rule. Because over here, everybody besides the fiance is puzzled to her. So the Gemara says, all the time, before you start asking kashas, let's figure out what's going on over here. It says, Tikshi lachi gufa. That statement itself that we pass on like Rabbi Gamliel itself, in and of itself, doesn't make sense. Halacha. First, Shmuel told Rabbi Yehuda, we paskin like him. And then we don't follow his rule. So what does that mean? How do you paskin like someone but not listen to what they have to say? It should go one way or the other. Ela ma'yisloch lemeimer. How are you going to explain that contradiction in and of itself? The answer is halachatchila ha di'evid. The answer is it depends on whether you're dealing with the chatchila or the di'evid. If you meaning lichatchila, don't do it. If they come to ask, as Rashi explains, if you come to Bezdin and ask, should I marry a kohen or not? Or the kohen asks, Bezdin will tell him, no, this is not the right. This is not the right shidduch for you. However, b'di'evid, once they got married, now we say, yeah, it happens to be that we have Rabbi Gamliel to rely on, and he's halachic source that we can rely on, so we're going to rely on it. The ha nami k'di'evid dami, and this case is like a b'di'evid, because this is talking about after she's already pregnant, and after she's already engaged. And if you're going to say there's a problem over here, what you're going to do is you're going to make the kid pasul, and you're also going to make her go exit this marriage. So therefore, you're in a b'di'evid situation. You're already in a situation where they are already married, or at least engaged in this case, but you have to allow it to go through. So therefore, that's what Rabbi Yosef meant. Even if the husband would not be moida, it still we would paskin like him because we have Rabbi Gamliel to follow, and even Rabbi Gamliel would admit in this case, or actually, even not Rabbi Gamliel would say it's mutter anyway, but I'm saying even the way we follow the halacha of Rabbi Gamliel, we would follow Rabbi Gamliel in this case because it is a b'di'evid case. Once it happened already, and now we're going to say that the child, the father and the child are going to be kasha. Okay. Talk to Gemara Vayter. Not a whole new topic, it ties in, but a whole new case. Romer le Abaye le Rava. So Abaye asked the following question. So till now we've been very focused on Rabbi Gamliel Shita, whether we believe him. Now let's flip it around and talk about Rabbi Yeshua. Umi Amar Rabbi Yeshua, Einai Na'amanes. Are you telling me that as a general rule, Rabbi Yeshua's rule is we never believe her? As Rashi points out, and which is very important to the Sugya, we don't believe her. Why? Because we don't use her chazaka. Her chazaka was that she was a kosher girl, and she's trying to back it up with her story. So we don't believe her means we don't listen, we don't apply her chazaka. I'll ask you a contradiction. Hey, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. Both Rabbi Yeshua, obviously that's the one we're going to focus on, and Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, they say in the following case, Al Almanas Isa Shehik Sheira Likahuna. That an Almanas Isa can marry a Kohen. Now, what is the case of an Almanas Isa? So Rashi actually has two versions to what this is, and Tosfos actually has the third version. But Rashi's, let's first do with Rashi's first pshat, because that's how Rashi explains the sugya. And the first pshat is very simple. You have a woman, so the general rule is when a woman is married and gets divorced, she has to receive a get. Now you could have this situation where the husband, instead of handing her the get, throws the get. When he throws the get to, when you throw a get to another woman, to your wife, so then halachically it has to leave his dalet amos and it has to be closer to her than to him. When it gets closer to her and further away from him, then the get is chal. So here the situation that messed everybody up is he threw the get and it landed right on the line. And now we don't know whether it's closer to him or closer to her. Okay, so that means it's a suffix whether or not she received the get. It's a suffix whether she is a grusha. Then, lo and behold, we never clarified this question, and the husband dies. So now, if they were divorced already, so then it's not relevant, she's a grusha. But if the get was closer to him, and they're not divorced, and then he dies, she's an almana. Now, of course, the major nafkamina between being a grusha versus being an almana is whether she can marry a kohen. A kohen is allowed to marry an almana. He's not allowed to marry a grusha. So this woman doesn't know what her halachic status is. Is she a grusha or is she an almana? And she goes ahead, this genius woman goes ahead and marries a kohen. She marries a kohen. So now, a kohen who marries a grusha makes her a chalala, and makes the child, any child from that marriage, a chalala. So, this woman, who was mesupik whether or not she was a grusha or a chalutza, a grusha or an almana, went ahead and married a kohen, had a child, that child now is a suffolk chalala. Is a suffolk chalala. So now, our shiloh over here actually isn't about the child. Our shiloh is, and that child, who is the son of a kohen, but possibly, potentially a chalal, went ahead and married a woman. Married some other random woman off the street. Now this woman now has a suffix whether she becomes a chalala. Because a chalal marries a woman, that wife also becomes a chalala. So the suffix is, so that's why we refer it as a amanas isa. It's a mix. Because it's not straightforward about the mother herself who was mesupik whether she's a grusha or an amana. That's not what we're clarifying about. We're discussing a shaila about not the woman who was within her minei obey created the suffix. We're talking about the wife of the child. So she, the wife, that wife has a regular cheskas kashrus, that she's not a chalala, and she marries a suffix. The question is that chazaka going to be strong enough? So comes along Rabbi Yeshua and says, no, you can rely on that chazaka. You can rely on her chazaka that she is kosher, and therefore, even though she married a suffix chalal, her chazaka is going to trump, override that suffix, and memela, because it's a second generation. So therefore, that's the first pshat. That's the first pshat in Rashi. Okay, so fine. That's the first pshat in Rashi. The second pshat in Rashi is he adds another level of suffix, because again, as you'll see later in the Gemara is going to call this a svek sveka. So in this first pshat in Rashi, it's a little bit complicated to call it a svek sveka, because it's not really two svekas. It's one suffix, whether the mother was divorced or not. That's really the only question over here. That's really the only suffix in fact. But so why we call it almanas isa, which isa means a mixture and complicated and so on and so forth. So in order to make it a svek sveka, to make it a second level of suffix, so Rashi in the second shot, which he brings later from Rabbi Yosef Toiva Olam, that's the name of his Rebbe, so he says the case was that not only did the mother then have a suffix whether she was a grusha or an almana, she right away went ahead and married somebody within 3 months of this whole story. In other words, she got divorced, she got the suffix get on January 1st, the guy died on January 2nd, and she got married January 30th. So it wasn't even 30 days, 90 days, whatever later, and now she has a child. She doesn't even know whether this child might have been the child from the first husband or a child from the second husband. If it's a child from the second husband, that's a problem. If it's a child from the first husband, regardless of whether she's a grusha or an almana, it's not relevant. Either way, the first husband, she was still married to him, it's still a kosher child. So that's the svek sveka. It's a svek sveka because it's safek. If it's the second husband, whether she's a grusha or an almana. But even if it's a suffix almana or a grusha, if it was from the first husband, it's not relevant. So it's a svek sveka. It's further removed from the problem. Further removed from the problem. That's Rashi's second pshat. Tosfos just adds that the case over here is not even talking about an individual. Apparently, this has been going on for generations. This is many generations later. You don't even know which children in the family are the suffix chol, which children in the family are not. So it's even a bigger suffix, because you don't even know the guy you're marrying whether he's part of the shiloh or not. That's what Tosfos adds on in order to make it an amanah sizah. In any event, okay. So those are the various pshatim in the Gemara in what the case of amanah sizah is. Now let's get to the point that Gemara is specifically trying to make, which is what do we see? We see that when you have a suffix with a woman, whether or not her chazaka prevails over a suffix, according to Rabbi Yeshua, all of a sudden over here he paskins she ksheira l'kahuna. She paskins that she's kosher. So we see that the chazaka overrides a suffix, which contradicts Rabbi Yeshua, because Rabbi Yeshua till now was not believing this girl and was saying that the chazaka was not strong enough. Okay, so how do we answer the contradiction in Rabbi Yeshua? Amalei. So this was Abaya asked Rava. So Amalei, so Rava answers, Hachi hashta. Hosom isha nisus by dekas venisus. Hacha isha mezana by dekas mezana. You can ask it with a question. In other words, you have to look at the cases. The cases are very different. In the cases till now, forget this case for a second. Until now, all the cases were that you had a married woman, or where the question was whether it was before the marriage or after the marriage, but it was always, it wasn't a marriage situation, it was a znus situation. So in znus, when a person gets carried away, they get carried away. They don't check into what it is, they do what they do, and then afterwards they say, oh, whoops, I don't know what happened. So that's why Rabbi Yeshua is going to say, I don't believe her. But over here, in the Salmanas Isa case, this is a case where I knew going into it what I was doing. I planned it. So if you plan, you check. And we can arguably say that she checked and she clarified that the get was actually still closer to the husband. It was never a divorce, and therefore she was never a grusha, and the whole suffix is not a real suffix. So it's not really, so yes, it's a suffix to us, maybe, but to her, she claims that she knows that it's not a suffix. So therefore, it's not a contradiction in Rabbi Yeshua at all, because Rabbi Yeshua, when it remains a suffix, because she was mezana, nobody knows what's going on, so then that's where we don't believe her. But in a marriage situation where she planned it and looked into it, so then Anachanami, even Rabbi Yeshua will admit that we could believe her, and the chazaka is going to prevail. Okay, so now Rava flips the script a little bit. Amar Rava, the Rabbi Yeshua, the Rabbi Yeshua, Kasha, the Rabbi Gamliel, the Rabbi Gamliel, loy Kasha. So fine, I get it. You asked the contradiction in Rabbi Yeshua. He seems to be inconsistent. But Rabbi Gamliel also, I'm going to show you an inconsistency. Why don't you ask on Rabbi Gamliel? Vakatani Seifa. Let's learn the end of this price. So Amar Lehen Rabbi Gamliel. So Rabbi Gamliel responded to this story, because remember, Rabbi Yeshua says, we believe you. So Rabbi Gamliel says, Kibalnu Eidu Seichem. Okay, I trust you. Your Eidus, I hear, that's the halacha, I'll accept that. Which, by the way, is not inconsistent. Avol, however, comes along Rabbi Gamliel now and says, Manasa, what am I going to do? I hear that this happened once. Shaharei, Gozer, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai already said, La halacha, made a gzeira, Shaloi lohoshev bezdin al kach. We're not going to, Bezdin's never going to rely on that story. Why? When you distance yourself, in other words, you make extra chumros, there, they'll listen to you. But they don't listen to you when you kind of make kulas. So comes along Rabbi Gamliel over here, and now he's saying, he's taking a play out of Rabbi Yeshua's playbook. And he's saying, you're right, you might be right that she's halachically good, but don't worry, but kainim are never going to listen to you. Kainim are going to say she's possible anyway. Kainim are going to say that we don't believe her. So here we flip the script. Now all of a sudden Rabbi Gamliel is the one who's being machmir and saying she's not believed because no, the Kayanim are never going to trust you. So we have a problem. So either that cannot be the explanation to Rabbi Yeshua L'chayro, because if that's pshat, why is Rabbi Gamliel being machmir? So Elo Amar Rava. So Rava says, I'll tell you, you're right. That's the Rabbi Gamliel, the Rabbi Gamliel, loy kasha. Even Rabbi Gamliel, who's all of a sudden the machmer over here, is not a contradiction. Why? Hasam bari. All the other cases till now were a situation where she knew what happened. She was really the owner of the story. It happened to her. She knows what happened. And when she comes along and says, this is what happened, there's a special level of belief, a bari. A bari we believe when she tells us what happened. Hacha Shem. So over here, in this case of Almanas Isa, she herself really doesn't know. Because remember, especially let's learn the first pshat in Rashi, that we're talking about the woman who married the son who is a Safik Chalo. So this woman, she wasn't there when the mother-in-law got divorced, or possibly not divorced. It's not her suffix. It's not something she can tell you about. Now, she might say, I checked into it, and so on and so forth, but she doesn't really know. So therefore, she's a Shema. So as a Shema, that's why Rabbi Gamliel is going to say, even Rabbi Gamliel is going to say, I don't believe her. Right? Rabbi Gamliel, till now, is always believing her because she was a Bari. But in this case of a Shema, Rabbi Gamliel is not going to believe her. And the same thing is true to Rabbi Yeshua, the Rabbi Yeshua, Nami Loi Kasha. Now, the contradiction of Rabbi Yeshua also is not a contradiction. Why? Hosom Chad Sveika. This is what we were talking about before. In all the other cases, it was one suffix. Is she Mutter? Is she Asr? Was the guy Kosher? Was the guy Posel? That's the suffix. Whether it happened or it didn't happen, it's one suffix, and that's why Rabbi Yeshua is machmer. Hacha tre sveiki. Over here, it's two sveikas. Again, depending on which pshat you learn, it's two sveikas. Either because it happened two levels down, or because you don't know whether it's the first father or the second father, or you don't know whether it's this guy or not this guy. Right? Depending on which pshat you learn. So therefore, Rabbi Yeshua says, I could be makel when it's two sveikas. However, you want to learn svek sveika, but you can certainly be more makel in a svek sveika situation. Okay, so what comes out? If you learn like Rava's pshat in the Machlekes Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua, Hilkach. The way to finally explain it is like this. Rabbi Gamliel, according to Rabbi Gamliel that believes her, Olam Le Bari, the Bari is such a strong taino, da afilu b'chad sveika nami machsher. That even when you're dealing with one suffix, a straight out suffix, yes or no, If she says bari, we're going to believe her. That's Rabbi Gamliel's opinion. The kille shema, and it comes out that the shema, when I don't really know the shema, it's, I don't really know what happened. The afilu besvek svekanami posel comes out that Rabbi Gamliel is going to say, even in the svek sveka, if you don't know what happened, the svek sveka remains a suffix, so I can't be mekel. So that's what Rabbi Gamliel is going to be. So Rabbi Gamliel, the bottom line is, it depends on whether you know what happened. If you know what happened, we'll believe you. If you don't know what happened, then we don't believe you. We cannot trust this situation. And we have to be machmer. That would be in Rabbi Gamliel. The Rabbi Yeshua, and Rabbi Yeshua would be just the opposite. Olam leichad sveiko. That when you're dealing with one suffix, it's so strong that afilu babari nami posel. It's even with one, even if I know what happened, one suffix, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. We're going to be machmer. However, v'kile svek sveika, but a svek sveika, once you're dealing with two svekas, we don't even know what happened at all. It's far removed. The afilu b'shema nami machmer. Now, even if I don't know what happened, it doesn't matter. It's a svek sveika. Again, remember, without getting into the lumdus of how svek sveika works, but it's a svek sveika. It's further removed from a problem. It's further removed from a problem. So then it doesn't matter whether I know for sure or not. It doesn't matter anymore because the problem is not such a big problem. It's not such a big problem, so even a shema is going to be enough to make her kosher. That is the case. That's the machlokes between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Gamliel. Continuing. Taner Rabbanan. So we learned as follows. Ezu Almanas Issa. What is the case of Almanas Issa? Now we already described what the case is. The case is it's a suffik grusha and so on and so forth. But the Braisa explains it as follows. Kol she'ein bo loy mishum mamzeris. There's no suffik whether there's no suffik mams are involved. Loy mishum tinasinus, and there's no whether nasina is a type of nation that became possible to marry into Klal Yisrael. Loy mishum avdei melochim, and there's no question that she ever lived with a guy who was a slave. And Rashi says, which is actually very apropos as we go into Hanukkah now, that we're talking that in the times of Hordas, the slaves were very powerful. They were very strong. They became actually very rich. So even though halachically they were still slaves, they became very powerful in Klal Yisrael, and they were running the show before the Chashmonaim took over. So even in within the base Chashmonai, obviously, even so therefore, but they, at the end of the day, they are a slave, and they create a posel. So that woman, any child from that marriage, is not allowed to marry a kohen. Anyway, but the point is, all these cases did not have those kinds of sfeikas involved. The only kind of suffix you had, so what's left? What's left, the pashtus of reading this is, a suffix chol. That's the poshut way of reading the Gemara, of reading this brisa. So, that's the statement. So, Amar Rebbe Meir, so Rebbe Meir says, Shamati, now on the top of your Yadal Amaveis, Shamati, kol shein ba echad mikol elu, Messiah Lakuna, if you don't have any of these type of svekas, you're allowed to marry a koyim. Okay, so basically that sounds like the same thing as the Tanakhama. The Tanakhama also says, Namanas is somebody who has the safek, and if you don't have any of those svekas. And then comes along Reb Shimon, excuse me, comes along Reb Meir, that's an important name to remember, it's Reb Meir, comes along Reb Meir and says, if you don't have the safek, then you're good. So, okay, so far it's consistent, it's the same shita. Reb Shimon ben Elazar, argues, Mishum Reb Meir, he also says in the name of Reb Meir, V'chein hoi Reb Shimon ben Menasi, Aymer Kidvarav, and Reb Shimon ben Menasi says the same thing, Ezu Almanas Isa, again, what is that case where you have a mixture of Sveikos, Kol Shanitma Ba, Safek Cholo. It depends that it is, now he's laying it out specifically that the Safek is the chol. The chol is the suffix. It's a suffix whether or not the mother is or the child is a chol. Then he finishes off with a statement, which we're going to have to explain. Makirin Yisrael Mamzeirim Shebeneim. Everybody knows who the Mamzeirim are. There's a chol, there's a rumor. Everybody knows who's a Mamzer. Ve'ein Makirin Cholol Shebeneim. Whereas when it comes to the halacha of a chol, it's not as pronounced. It's not as popular. People don't know who's who. Okay, so we're going to have to explain what that statement means. So is that a good thing or a bad thing? Is the fact that people don't know to make it a less of a suffix or more of a suffix? Okay, but let's now go back. That's the Braisa. So now we're going to go through each line in the Braisa and we're going to explain and see what the various shitas are. So first the Gemara says, Omar Maher. So first we said like this, Ezu Almanas Isa. Again, it's a little bit of a re-quote of what we just said. Kol She'en Ba'al Loi Misham Mamzeres V'Loi Misham Nesines V'Loi Misham Mavdei Melochim. It doesn't have any of those kinds of svekos. So what are we trying to eliminate? Cholol, kosher. But if it has a suffix, cholol, that's when you're kosher. Which is consistent, right? Because that's what we've been talking about. Till now, we've always been talking about a suffix cholol. Now, so first the Gemara says, I don't understand. What's the difference? What generated the suffix? They're both the same suffix daraisa. Clearly, marrying a mamzer we all know is also midaraisa, and a chol also. If a chol is a chol, again, it's only relevant to a koyin, but a chol is a chol, right? So it's just the same. And we know generally the rule is that a suffix daraisa we go lechumro. So why are you more makel by the suffix chol than you're makel than by all the other kinds of sveikas? That's one question. So first of all, they're on the same level. So why should their type of suffix make a difference? Vesu, and I'll ask you, Stam, the Bryce itself is difficult to follow. Because Omer Reb Meir then responded and says, Shemati kol she'ein bo'echem nikol elu mesiyan l'kuhuna. So he says that if you don't have the others, meaning the ones we just listed, the Mamzer Nesino or Avdei Melochim, you're able to marry a Kohen. So Hainatanakama, that's the same thing. So if you don't have any of those, what are you left with? Well, you're left with the Chol. So the Tanakama and Reb Meir seem to be saying exactly the same thing. It's the same shita. So what's he arguing about? So we're going to have to explain what their machlekas is. The su, and a third question that the Gemara itself asks, like it's a whole drosha over here, we're asking a bunch of questions. The su, and then let's follow the next point in the brayta. It says, Rav Shimon ben Elazar Oimer, Mishum Rav Meir, V'cheinoi Rav Shimon ben Menashe Oimer, Kitzbarov. Okay, so everybody, Rav Shimon says like this, Ezu almanas Esau. They said, what's an almanas isa? Kol shenitma wa safek kol. Okay, so again, seems to be saying the same thing. Almanas isa is referring to a case where you have a safek kol. And then, but the problem is he adds on this next line. Makir yisua mamzerim shabineyem. We know who the mamzerim are. Ve'im makir cholol shabineyem. And we don't know who the mamzer is. So one second. Va'amris reisha kol kosher. The whole point of an almanas isa, these are the people that, when you have a safek kol, you're going to be kosher. And then you say at the end, but we don't know who the kol is. Who cares? Why is that relevant? If you don't know who the chol is, I thought it's a suffik chol, it's fine. Elamai, what are you saying we don't know who the chol is? I'm saying it could be that he is actually a chol. We have to worry about that. We just don't know. And if that means we do have to worry about it. So it's a contradiction in Rav Shimon himself. Rav Shimon saying, on the one hand, a suffik chol is kosher to marry a kohen. On the other hand, you're saying, well, actually, we don't know. And if we don't know, especially based on the Gemara's first kasha that it's deraisa, if we don't know, then it's a suffik deraisa chol, then we should not be allowing him to marry a kohen. So the statement itself, Rav Shimon's statement itself, seems to be intrinsically problematic, contradictory. Okay, so finally, we're going to get to a teretz. Very interesting teretz. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, so all these kashas, the brayse itself needs a lot of explanation. We're going to try to answer all of these with one yesoid. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan says, Mamzer tzavach v'chol shoysek ikabenayu, which means that when you call the guy, when you call him a mamzer, then he screams, meaning he responds and he says, not true. Whereas when you call him a cholol, and he's looking quiet, he doesn't respond. Ikabainai, I mean, it's gonna be the crux of what the machloek is between all these various shitas. Now, we're gonna follow Rashi's shita, but I just wanna let you know, it's a major machloek in the Rishonim, Rashi and Tosfos point this out, that what exactly is the case? The way Rashi learns, okay, again, if you just read Rashi, you don't necessarily pick up on it until you see Tosfos that argues, but the way Rashi learns is that it's one case. Meaning, you first went over to the guy and said, you are a mamzer. He says, no, I'm not. And then you went over to that same guy and says, oh, you're a cholol. And he doesn't respond. It's the same guy. Okay? That you went over to him, and that's what creates the problem. It's because, obviously, he's capable of responding, because sometimes he responds. And then all of a sudden over here, he's not responding. So that's gonna be the issue. That's the case that we're talking about. Tosfos learns that it's not the same case. It's not the same guy. Tosfos learns there's two nafkaminas. There's a nafkamina when you talk to a mamzer and he screams out. That's one category of case. And there's another case where you call the guy call him a cholol and he doesn't respond. It's another case that you could also. Now the Gemara in our sugya, because we're dealing with the suffik cholol, our Gemara, as you see in the flow of the Gemara, is going to be focused on the cholol that keeps quiet. But the way Tosfos learns, it's not a reaction to the first case. It's a separate case of called him a cholol and he kept quiet. It has nothing to do with the first case. But we're going to follow Rashi's case, that the case is that you called him a mamzer and then you called him a cholol, you called the same guy, and now all of a sudden he's not reacting. Okay, now, obviously there's a major nafkamina between Rashi and Tosfos and how you learn the sugya, but more importantly, the way Rashi learns that it's the same case, the cases that we're discussing are not really relevant. Meaning, According to Tosfos, that it's a separate case that you called him a cholol and he kept quiet. It's the fact that he's a cholol that is very relevant, very important. According to Rashi, cholol is just an example because it's working off the it's the two cases back to back that make a difference. So it doesn't really matter what the first case was. It's the fact that he screamed once and was quiet the second time. That's the way, that's, okay, so it's a major nafkamina. That's the way Rashi is learning. Again, we're just gonna learn Pashur Pshat in the Gemara. I'm not gonna get into all these complicated cheshbonos, but I do, to learn the sugya, you need to know that this is what's going on in the sugya. So again, let's learn very simple. Alright, so let's go back and read the Gemara again. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, so what's the case over here? Mamzer Tzavach V'chol Shoisek Ikub Anayo. The nafkamina between all these various shitas that we quoted in the Brisa is a case where I'll just say, translate that you called the guy a mamzer and he denied it, and when you called him a chol, he did not deny it. He didn't say anything. So that's going to be the nafkamina. The Gemara now, thankfully, is going to explain. Tanakama Sovar. The Tanakama says like this: Kol Psul Dekari Leveshosik Possel. If you call him a name and he doesn't deny it, you're automatically possel. You can't just accept that, you know, people calling you a halachically relevant name. That's not acceptable. Bahachika Amar Tanakama, and the Tanakama is saying like this: if you want to know who's kosher, Ezo Amanas Isa, who is the case of Amanas Isa? Now we know, just by the way, even though the Brisa doesn't spell it out, when we say Amanas Isa means that that's the case that there's a suffix and we let you marry a kohen. Okay, that it's Ezo. So when we say what is the case of Amanas Isa that we say it's mutter, what is that mutter case? Kol she'ein by loy shoysek mamzerus v'loy shosuk nesinus v'loy shosuk avdei melochim v'loy shosuk cholo. Okay, so the Tanakama, even though he doesn't say these words the way Rashi explains, is that any time you keep quiet, if your first case, if a guy calls you a name and you keep quiet, that is going to be a problem. You should never sit there and accept the fact that people are calling you a name. You should never accept that, even though the Braisa doesn't say it in the words of the Tanakama. The Tanakama, the way the Gemara is very clearly explaining, adds the words. We just didn't have to list, the way Rashi says, we don't have to list every single case. There are lots of psulim out there, by the way. And it includes also the case of Shosek Chol, that I just didn't deny being a Chol either. So that was the Tanakama Shita. So the Tanakama Shita is every case. The Ka'amar Le Reb Meir, so that's what, now it makes sense. Reb Meir's arguing, even though it sounds like he's saying the same thing, but he's actually arguing, and he says, no. Hanachu de Kaposele. Bekal. It's those things specifically that the Tanakhama listed that I care if I keep quiet. Avashosik cholol, but the case that he didn't list, which is the cholol case, which he didn't list, kosher, he's still gonna be kosher even though he didn't say anything. You know why? Vahadashosik, and the reason why he kept quiet, even though, again, generally speaking, you're supposed to deny it, Mishum Deloich Vasle, because he doesn't care. I don't care that you call me a chol. It's not such a major psul that I really could care about. So, you know, now you're just calling me a name. Now you're just calling me names, so I don't care about the other one. You call me a nesino, that's something that I cannot accept. Call me a chol. Lo yichbas, lo yichbasle. He doesn't really care. It's not such a major downfall. So therefore, according to Reb Meir, that's still kosher to marry a kohen, because the reaction, the natural reaction of most people is they don't care. So the fact that he's keeping quiet doesn't prove anything, so therefore it doesn't make him puzzle. That would be Reb Meir Shita. The Kamale Reb Shimon ben Elazar Latanakamo de Reb Meir. So now Reb Shimon ben Elazar's response to this whole story is Ishmiel Lecha de Machsher Reb Meir. No. Because remember, Reb Meir is the one who's saying, you can call me a chol and I don't care, and I'm still going to be kosher. He says, no, it's not so simple. Ishmiel Lecha de Machsher Reb Meir Beshtika. If you want to know a case where even Reb Meir says, I can keep quiet and it's still kosher, it doesn't matter, Loy de Kar Le Chol of a Shosik. It's not the case where you called him a chol. Even that's too serious. Ella the Karale Mamzer Vishos. It's actually just the opposite. It's when you call the guy a Mamzer and he keeps quiet, then he doesn't queer. Then he doesn't care. Why? Vahadashasik, why doesn't he care? Why isn't he calling a guy a Mamzer? He doesn't care. Savar Mamzer Kola Islay. Now that second half of the sentence makes sense. People know who the Mamzerim are. So Savar Mamzer Kola Islay. If I was really a Mamzer, you'd know about it. So the fact that you're calling me a Mamzer, you're just being an idiot. So you're just you're just being not a nice person and calling me a mamzer. If I was really a mamzer, you would know. So the avo mamzer. So therefore, there's no reason for me to deny it. I don't have to deny it because you would know. Everybody knows who the mamzerim are. I'm not one of those people. So therefore, there's no reason for me to deny it. Avo mamzer v'tzavach. So actually, now it's the other way around. If he calls him a mamzer, and all of a sudden he's screaming, v'chol v'shoysek, and now all of a sudden he calls him a chol and he keeps quiet, posel. Now he's going to be posel because by now. In other words, he's doing all the wrong things. By the mamzer, he shouldn't care. And the chol, he should care. And because chol, people don't know who is the suffix. He should really clear the air. He should clarify. And he's not, that's gonna be a problem. Oh, so why is he taka, this guy, what's he thinking? What's his psychology over here? Vahad, vahayde ishtik, and the reason why the chol, now that you called him a chol, and all of a sudden now he keeps quiet, sover mistaya deloy mafkele mikal, says, you know what, I'll take it. Because I know I'm a problem. This is what the way the Gemara is explaining the psychology here. I know there's a suffix over here. And I know if I start screaming about everything, they're going to start looking into it. Right? You're denying this, you're denying that. Something's up. And they're going to start looking into it. And they're going to find out, and they're going to check, and they're going to find that I'm really a problem. So I'm better off just taking that label. I'll take it. It's not such a bad label. Chol is not so bad. He could still marry Bakal. He could still marry. Okay, so he can't marry a Kohen, but he can marry everybody else. It's not the worst thing in the world. I'll take it. I'll take the plea bargain over here, and I'll accept that, and I'll take that, and therefore there's no reason for me to cry. But what that means is, if that's really what's going on in the back of his head, what that means is he's actually admitting that he's a chol. He's saying, I'll take the chol. I'll take that and go. But that means that we really have to deal with him like a chol. Okay, so that's what Reb Shimon ben, that's the way Reb Shimon ben Elazar is explaining Reb Meir. So Reb Meir said that Shasik is okay. What does that mean? That only means Shasik, he means Shasik is okay by Mamzer. Because Mamzer, I don't need to deny Mamzer. You know who the Mamzerim are. Although, you're just name calling right now. That's nothing. But when you keep quiet by a Cholol, now remember, according to Rashi's case, the case is that first you called him a Mamzer and then you called him a Cholol. That's the way, remember, Rashi's learning the Sugya. So, and then you keep quiet, now all of a sudden we start getting nervous. Oh, so you mean, you're trying to get away with something over here. So then, Enochanami, he's going to be Pasul for Kahal. Okay, so now. So it comes out, according to this pshat, as I'll setting up the next Gemara for you, it comes out that according to this, that Reb Meir himself says, anytime you're quiet by a chol, it's not a problem. According to Reb Shimon ben Elazar's pshat, no, it depends. When you actually you're quiet by a chol, after you were called a mamzer, now it is a problem. Right? So Reb Meir himself says, chol, quiet, no problem. Reb Shimon ben Elazar says, chol, quiet, is a problem. Okay. So, therefore, the next line in the Gemara makes sense. Tani Chada, on the one hand, we have one brisa that says like this. Rabbi Yosi Yoimer, Shoisek, Mamzer, Kosher. If he keeps quiet as a Mamzer, we don't care. Shosek, Cholol, Posel. But now, if he keeps quiet as a Chol, that's a problem, right? This is the way Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar explained it. Because Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar's explanation was, Mamzer, I don't care. You know who your Mamzer is. Cholol, I better say something, because otherwise I'm accepting it. That's one brisa. The Tanya Iduch, but we have another brisa that says, Shosek, Cholol, Kosher. If I keep quiet by chol, I'm kosher. Remember, this is just plain Reb Meir. I don't care. Shasik mamzer possible, but Reb Meir says mamzer. I better say something because that's a serious accusation. Okay, so we see it's a contradiction because we just, as I was explaining it, it didn't sound so bad. But if you just read it straight, it flip flops. Is mamzer quiet, good or bad? Is chol quiet, good or bad? Then the Gemara explains, like we just explained, like kasha hotanakama leave the Reb Meir. That's the Tanakama's way of Reb Meir's pshat. That again, that chol I don't care ever. And ha Reb Shimon ben Elazar leave with the Reb Meir. And the Reb Shimon ben Elazar says, no, by chol I do care because people don't know who the chololim are, so I better say I'm not a cholol, otherwise they're going to think I'm a suffix. And once you think I'm a suffix, people don't know whether I'm really a cholol or not, so they're going to have to consider me to be a cholol. So that becomes the answer. That becomes the answer. But the explanation to the Gemara. Start quickly the next Mishnah. We'll do a little bit of the Gemara, and we'll get a little bit further, but we'll see. So zok the next Mishnah. Amar Rabbi Yosi, a new story. Remember, until now we've always been talking about this. What's the general problem that we've been talking about? But you had a woman got into a situation, and we don't know whether she's kosher or whether the child is kosher. That's, if I had to say, the general theme of what we've been discussing till now. So comes along the next Mishnah with a specific case. Amar Rabbi Yosi, Maisa Betinaikis, there was a girl who sheyar de lamalois mayim mina ayin, that she went to fill up water from the well, the nansa, and there was an einus. She got, someone took her right over there by the well. Now the significance of the fact that it was at the well means, generally speaking, the well was outside of the city. Okay, so she wasn't inside within the walls of the city. She was outside of the city. So that adds an extra complication because you don't know where the person is from. And we'll talk about that in a second in the Gemara. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri, Imroiv Anshei Ha'ir Mesiyin Lekuhuna. If the people from the city can marry a Kohen, Harezu Tinasu Lekuhuna. So that's the way Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri looks at it. It says if the people from the city are kosher, she's going to be kosher. Okay. Sounds very simple. It's a regular suffix. Roiv, a kosher, no problem. So zot the Gemara. Let's start the Gemara on the bottom of Yudal and Reis. Amalei Rava le Rav Nachman. So Rava says to Rav Nachman, Rav Yochanan ben Uri de Omer Keman. The problem is, whose shita is Rav Yochanan ben Uri when he says, yeah, it's not a problem. Who's he following? Ik Rav Gamliel. If you're following Rav Gamliel shita that says we believe her, it's not a problem. Afilu b'rei psulim nami machshir. So what is the significance that the city is kosher? Doesn't matter. Even if the city wasn't Rav Kosher, Rabbi Gamliel says, we believe her version, and we believe her. She's Kosher. Ika Rabbi Yeshua, and if you follow Rabbi Yeshua, that says we never believe her, or not never, but almost never, Afilu b'Rav Ksherim Nami Posel. So, even if the city is all good, doesn't matter. We don't believe her. It could be that one in a million chance, and that's going to be enough to make her Posel. So, who is Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri? Again, after we've set up all these Mishnayos with Machlikas, Rabbi Gamliel, and Rabbi Yeshua, who is Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri following to say, to make this statement that, yeah, she's good? Right? And because the city is good. That's why she's good. Well, the two things really don't go together. So, this was Rav's Kasha to Rav Nachman. Amar Leis, so Rav Nachman answered, Hachi Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. So Rav Yehuda Amar Rav said, now we're going to go to the top of Tesvav Amar Alpha. We're just going to read three lines from the top and we'll stop. Again, it's not the end of the sugya, but we'll just cover the teretz. We're talking about Bekroinois Shel Tzipor Hayamaisa. This story was a very specific and very unique story. This is not the general rule. Really, in other words, really is like this. What the Gemara is saying is like this. You have to see Rashi to understand this. Really, we follow Rabbi Yeshua that she's really going to be possible. Okay? Because once she's outside the city. But it happens to be, in this case, we have a double positive. We have a positive, that's this case, B'kronis Shel Tzipor, is a positive because A, everybody from the city is kosher, and B, all the merchants also, the kronis of the caravans, all the merchants were also kosher. So now, since you have a double positive, so that's why we're going to believe her. Ukudah Rav Ami, as I said, we're just going to read three lines and then we'll stop. Ukudah Rav Ami, the Amar Rav Ami, we're following Rav Ami's Shita that says, V'hu sha'oysa siya sha'b'nei adam k'sherim, Ksherin Oyveres Lisham, that the people passing by happen to be, they're all kosher. So that's what I'm saying. You have the double positive. You have the city that's kosher, so if the guy came out of the city, it's not a problem. And on the other hand, if it came from the outsiders were also kosher. It was the market day, and there's a bunch of good guys over there, so they're all good. Ukud Rav Yanai, and like Rav Yanai, Shita Da'am Rav Yanai, Nivelis Bekroinus Kshero Likruhuna. If there was a bia in the caravan, it's going to be kosher. So first the Gemara says technical, but Kronis Hakadai, that we'll be talking about on the caravan. So he says, no, Ela Nivelis Bashas Kronois Kshero Likuhuna. That if it's, that at the time of these caravans, it's going to be kosher Likuhuna. Again, we're going to stop right over here. We're going to stop at this line. So the answer is because what Rabbi Yanai was saying is in this case where they are, it's during the market day where we're familiar with who the people coming to market are, and we know that they're all kosher. Plus, we have the fact that the city is all kosher, so you have a double, whichever way you turn, you're going to have a roiv ksherim. So that kind of suffix, we're even according to Rabbi Yeshua, again, remember Rabbi Yeshua l'shitasa, that when you have a svek sveka, Rabbi Yeshua shita is that sometimes we can be mako. So this also is a case where we can be mako. Okay, we'll stop over here.